Okay, fun and wonderful stuff. Thank you for being here. Let's go win that case. Let's move to the regular agenda and take item 112.
Address the city's infrastructure maintenance and replacement funding gap. Amend city comprehensive financial management policy 2.03 and rescind resolution 34423.
Commissioner Fritz, would you like to make some opening remarks?
Thank you, Mayor. So in the 2014-15 budget, the council asked Bureau Asset Managers to work with the City Budget Office to look at how resources could be allocated to address major maintenance and replacement of infrastructure needs. Based on the recommendations in a report delivered to council in October, this resolution would do what that group suggested and designate 50% of ending fund balance, or money that's still left at the end of the fiscal year, and also add 50% of all projected one-time money identified in the budget and allocate it to maintenance of capital assets owned by the city. I certainly became much more or even more aware of the challenges of infrastructure maintenance as we looked into the parks bond measure, which the citizens of Portland passed last year. And although we greatly appreciate the $68 million that the bond measure will provide, it did not increase the tax rate, and therefore we still have a funding gap of about $300 million, at least $20 million a year. And so we need to start being very dedicated and disciplined in setting priorities, and that's what this resolution attempts to do or begins to do. The resolution would replace the one that was passed by council in 1988 that directed 28% of utility license fees to be dedicated to transportation needs, which is a policy that was followed by council for only 2 years after it was adopted. So I'd like to turn it over to the City Budget Office staff, Andrew Scott, director, to give us more information about what is being proposed here and why.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. Again, I'm Andrew Scott, director of the City Budget Office, and Jeremy Patton, the assistant director, is with me as well. I will be relatively brief because Commissioner Fritz covered most of the background here. But just as a reminder, last fall, actually as part of the 14-15 budget process, the mayor and council passed a budget note which directed us to work with city asset managers to develop these funding options. And the report came back to you all last fall. And what I'm passing out now is just a summary of the recommendations in that report. And what we've done is just highlighted those things in red that are either done or in progress. And this is one of those actions. And so, you know, in terms of the 14-15 recommendations, increasing the general fund fall bump allocation for major maintenance replacement, the mayor's proposed budget in the fall did that. We didn't quite get to 50%, but we were close. We were at 42%. And then obviously the pursuing new revenues for PBOT is an ongoing task as well. The resolution before you today in 15-16 is the first one there in terms of enacting some policy revisions and reestablishing a general fund capital set aside using one-time general fund dollars. And then below that, the debt financing of the fuel system infrastructure replacements, again, was in the mayor's proposed bump last fall, and council has approved that as well. The other things on here are worthy of discussion as well, and we're going to be bringing those forward as part of the budget process just to continue looking at all the options. What this capital funding group did in their overall report, and they really said we're laying out a whole menu of things. No one solution will get us there. Even all of the solutions on this table, on this list, will not necessarily take care of the problem, but at least it begins to make some progress towards that. What this specific recommendation resolution does, as the commissioner laid out, we have an existing policy that sets aside 25% of excess balance from the prior fiscal year, that at least 25% should be spent on capital infrastructure maintenance and replacement. And this increases that to 50%. And again, that process happens in the fall bump every year. It also adds a new provision that 50% of one-time resources that are identified in the city's five-year forecast for the next fiscal year would also be dedicated for capital infrastructure maintenance and replacement. And again, that's a floor, so a minimum of 50%. Council can go above that number as well. So they're relatively straightforward, and it does amend the financial policies to include that in policy.
Andrew, just to make sure I understand something you just said, one-time money is identified in the five-year forecast, five-year plan, but is that the same as whatever the actual one-time is that we are taking up?
Yeah, and so in the we always have a December forecast, which is our planning forecast, and then in the April forecast would be the final number. And then that would be the actual number
We're talking actual.
Well, it would be the actual forecast number. That would be what we would budget. So as with everything, I mean, we forecast, $400 million of general fund discretionary.
Right.
It may be 395, maybe 405. There's lots of mechanisms to deal with that throughout the year. But these would be budgeted projects that would receive funding
right.
as part of the budget.
Okay, thank you.
And you're going to be continuing to discuss the concept of developing ongoing general fund Cal target changes to adjust to the needs.
Yes, one of the other recommendations there, the bottom one on the 2015-16 column, there are a number of within our bureaus, above and beyond sort of the regular daily and weekly operations and maintenance, but below the sort of major system replacement, there are those major maintenance projects that are often unfunded. And so what this proposal was, but bureaus don't have necessarily a good sense of what they are and how much that those dollars are. So what this the recommendation is to direct that work group to go back and those individual bureaus to calculate what those amounts would be and bring them forward as part of the 16-17 budget process to talk to council about increasing current appropriation level targets to adequately fund those.
Can I follow up on just one additional point? So, Andrew, you are the head of the independent budget office, which means you sometimes agree with us, disagree with us, but you give us your best advice. So could you just briefly explain why, as a general matter, you're not so keen on dedicated funding, like carve-outs that are dedicated for a particular purpose, but this approach is something you can support?
So the set-aside for infrastructure funding in general is not getting at specifics. It's saying, as a city, we have a backlog, and it's an important, from a policy perspective, one-time funding should be spent on one-time projects. Infrastructure are, the best example of that. And so from that standpoint, it is really saying, council find, because of the infrastructure backlog, that's a high priority. We're going to set that aside. And so, again, that, I think, is actually a really good policy. We do, in the budget office, have concerns about allocating to specific things, just because we don't know what the situation 2, 3, 4 years from now is going to look like. As, Commissioner Fritz, in this resolution, dedicating for emergency preparedness, parks and recreation, and transportation, there are a number of projects in those that ranked very highly on our list in this last ranking process. And so I'm quite confident we can find projects for at least 50% in those areas. My concern from an overall standpoint would be dedicating that, again, in future years, there may be higher priority things that come our way that that council may want to fund in future fiscal years.
And that's why the specific interest areas that is being funded, that piece would sunset after 4 years. So the policy of the 50% set aside for capital asset maintenance would continue in perpetuity. And then the council will have a discussion as far as, are those three areas still the same ones that we need to focus on in 2019?
Thank you. And in addition, your general preference is that when we're allocating one-time or ongoing general fund dollars, that we apply the dollars in some strategic way, so ranked, and we look at where we get the most mileage. As crafted, does this approach give us, within that 50% carve-out, the flexibility you'd like to see for making decisions as to which projects get funded and some kind of prioritization?
I think as we go through the budget process every year and bureaus submit these projects, we will continue in the City Budget Office to do the ranking, which we just started this last fall, again, at the mayor's direction, to rank the capital projects based on some consistent criteria. I think the challenge will be, if a project ranks very highly on that list that is not in these three areas, I think that's a challenge that council will need to consider as part of the budget process. Now, I will say this sets a floor. And so to the extent council wants to dedicate more money towards infrastructure, that's one way to deal with that. 50% would go to these areas. These other high-priority projects would be funded from the other 50%.
Andrew, speaking of the scoring process, I do want to raise a concern the PBOT staff had, which I'm comfortable about this, but I wanted a chance to air it. We have found that your current scoring process for a capital allocation does not rate street preservation very highly among other PBOT assets. The PBOT projects to score highly are bridges, retaining walls, and signal rehabilitations, because CBO views high risk from the life safety perspective, not the financial risk that we have with roads, which we'd like to see have more weight in the process. Now, it's my understanding from reading this resolution that this resolution does not bind the council to only spend money on maintenance projects that score highly in your current scoring rubric. You can still go through your rubric and make recommendations, but this does not require us to follow the current scoring procedures.
That's right, and I would actually point out you would never have been bound to follow those procedures. They are just advisory in terms of that scoring. In terms of the specific process, PBOT's been heavily involved with multiple staff on this task force and work group, and they have raised these issues. I think some of the discussion we've had among all the asset managers, though, is what is the appropriate weight that risk should have when applied to projects. And while street preservation hasn't ranked as highly compared to those other projects, I think there's really good reason for that. And I hope that that's something council takes into account as well. Street preservation has been something we've talked about a lot. It's obviously a hugely important issue with a huge financial risk. If one of PBOT's bridges falls, it has a much different type of risk, and that is the reason why it has ranked higher. And I think there's actually an argument to be made which doesn't devalue street preservation. It actually says PBOT has so many assets that are so important that even street preservation, which does rank, those projects did rank in the top 20 of those submitted, in the city, maybe in the top 10, I can't remember exactly. It's just some of the bridges and retaining walls that would have a more catastrophic effect if they failed ranked even higher.
Okay, other questions for our team? Anything else you guys want to add? Thank you very much. Have anyone signed up to speak on this?
Yes, we have four people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Lightning, Joe Walsh, and Craig Rogers.
Okay, come on up. Lightning, I think you're on first.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog. One of the things that I found a little bit confusing on this are you still planning on implementing the utility fee at this time? It's my understanding you were planning on possibly rescinding that, or
we've set aside action on that until after the legislature acts on transportation funding.
But we're not. Which utility fee are you talking about? The franchise fee or the?
Well, were you normally on the utility fee, which was applied toward transportation, a percentage of that wasn't done in the previous years?
Oh, the utility
this resolution
license
does not
fee.
Change that.
Does not this
no,
resolution?
No, we will continue to be having the utility license fees as
license fee. Okay, very good. The other issue that I had on this is just that. This amount, does this have any effect on the what we call the surplus budget dollars that are considered surplus?
Yes, it allocates the so-called surplus.
So but it's actually a set aside, not an actual allocation, is my understanding. It's just setting it aside.
No, it says that the council will allocate it 50% of the so-called surplus. The council will then have a discussion about which of these areas to provide to fund projects in.
Okay.
But it kicks in when we have ending fund balance or one-time funds at the end of the
Okay, so I have an understanding on that. And one of the main things that I wanted to just, I guess, state from my position is that we know the concerns on transportation, and especially on the maintenance and the paving of the roads. And I would think that a tremendous amount of money or a large percentage would be automatically allocated in those directions. Now, I understand other bureaus are looking at those dollars very close, and I would just think that would be the top priority. And it sounded to me like there's going to be a kind of a test on who actually gets those dollars, and that'll be determined. I can't see why transportation wouldn't be at the top of the list on that, unless, of course, as you know, we see what happens on the gas tax or vehicle registration fees or any other types of revenue that can go in that direction. So I'm just looking at this, trying to have an understanding that I think the top priority needs to be transportation and allocated in that direction. And that's just my opinion on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. It is.
It is afternoon. Good afternoon. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. When we looked at this, we had some concern about the percentage that you're moving from 25 to 50%, which seems to be a lot to us. Now, our understanding also, and please correct me if we're wrong on this, because budget is probably our weakest subject. You're going to take 50% of the monies and then argue about who gets what? I mean, you're going to move from 25% of funds that are over budget, correct? That's surplus. And you're going to take 50% under this ordinance, but you're still going to remain under the same rules and regulations from the 25%? You're just adding it?
No,
or did you change the rules also?
Changing it from 25
okay.
to 50.
Then our question is, how do you divvy up the money?
In the budget process with public input.
So you fight over it.
So the public has input into what they want, what you want.
Okay, so but you're gonna fight for your bureaus. I mean, that's one of the negatives about this form of government, that you guys are going to fight over this money. Say there's $100 over. That's an easy figure to screw around with. How do you do that? Do you say, well, you know, transportation's a mess and we need all this money and parks, they're doing okay, not so good. All right, the police department, not so good. How do you decide, and you're saying the public will have input on how we spend the money when during the budget hearings? Mm-hmm. Not during the council hearing, but during the budget?
Both.
Okay. So we were taken back by that a little bit, and I really appreciate the answers. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and remember, Joe, that this fences us in a little bit. It says at least 50% from now on has to go to infrastructure. The first time that this opportunity of spending ending fund balance came along during the time I've been here as mayor, this council decided to put about 80%, I think it was about 80% of that money into paying off old general fund debt. And I think that was the right thing to do, and obviously we did as well, because that's what the council decided to do with those funds. Now, we don't have a lot of general fund debt laying around at this point, so dedicating at least half of these monies when they come available in the future to infrastructure seems to me a reasonable parameter for us to set. What within that 50% gets what? You're right, it's still subject to debate. What we do with the other 50% is still subject to debate. And as Andrew just pointed out, we could dedicate that to infrastructure too. But this just says there's a baseline. At least half of this money is going to go into taking care of stuff we own that needs to have maintenance and investment.
I have one more question, then I'll shut up. Is this a reaction to the bureaus, especially transportation and parks, being in deficit? I mean, is this a reaction to that?
It's a partial solution to that.
It's partial solution.
That we have a problem.
Yeah, I'm not criticizing. I'm just curious.
Yes.
I mean, that's the way I would look at it. Okay, there's a problem here. We can move some money over here, and we have to up the ante to 50%.
Yeah, and the challenge in the budget process is that, as Commissioner Novick has said, people rarely come in and say, please cut this. People come in and say, please fund this. So there are always way more many worthy projects than there is money available. And something like paving tends to not rise to the top of the wish list for most people. So this is an attempt to be more disciplined and focused. And from my experience after six budgets, looking at these are there's actually four areas that are grossly underfunded in the city. Parks, transportation, emergency management, and housing. And I had originally discussed having housing in the mix. Mayor Hales pointed out that the city doesn't own the housing. We help manage it, we help provide it, but this resolution is focused on how do we take care of city-owned assets that you, the citizens, owned. And so we certainly need to be looking at the other 50% for how are we going to help with the housing crisis. But this is about let's be disciplined in putting the money where we know the greatest infrastructure needs are. I'm putting it to these three areas for the next 4 years. After that, we'll have another discussion about where are the most important needs for infrastructure maintenance.
Okay, I appreciate the exchange. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Craig Rogers, and I am definitely in support of this item 112. And I came across something that I thought was significant that I'd like to share with you for your consideration. It was in the week back in December, and it's under best columns in the United States, A Country That Can't Fix What's Broken by Lawrence Summers, The Washington Post. For 2 years, said Lawrence Summers, a critical bridge over the Charles River in Boston has been under repair, and the work will continue for 2 more years. Why does it now take 4 years to repair a bridge when the Empire State Building was constructed in 2 years? General George Patton took 1 day to build several bridges over the Rhine, sturdy enough to carry a tank column. It is little wonder that Americans have lost faith in the future and in institutions of all kinds. Both in the public and private sectors are failing the competency test. At busy LaGuardia Airport in New York City, for example, a private airline escalator has been broken for 6 months and won't be repaired for 6 more. For this sorry state of affairs to change, Americans need to be much less accepting of institutional failure. We have to demand that public officials make our existing infrastructure work before spending billions on spiffy, new, high-speed rail systems. Fixing roads, escalators, and bridges may seem like small stuff, but if Americans are to have faith in the future, government and private institutions have to get the small stuff right.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks. Okay, next.
The last two who signed up are Marianne Fitzgerald and Lori, I'm sorry, I don't see the last name.
Benoit.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Okay. Marianne Fitzgerald back again. This time as a member of the PBOT Budget Advisory Committee, but once again, I'm testifying on my own behalf because we just got this Monday. So the PBOT Budget Advisory Committee has been recommending more of the utility license fees go to the PBOT budget. And this is, I think, the 7th year in a row that we'll be including it in the letter that you'll get with the budget package next week. So I am very aware of all the maintenance needs in the parks, in transportation, and all the bureaus. And I think, you know, using the surplus funds is a good idea. But just the gist of my concern is that rescinding Resolution 34423 without time to deliberate it among the Bureau Budget Advisory Committees and during this next 3-month budget process seems a little premature. And so my main concern is that the utility license fees for using the right-of-way that PBOT owns will be yanked from any dedicated funds. Right now it's only 2%. In the letter that you'll see soon, we're asking for more for street maintenance, but this essentially takes it away. So that's it.
That's a very fair criticism in terms of the resolution being out. I did put a press release out a couple of weeks ago that outlined this concept.
We didn't see it, yeah.
The utility license fee dedication would require $13 million to be going to PBOT this session. So that would require cuts somewhere because we don't have $13 million.
Right.
So
right.
That's then would be the question. And this, to me, my reason for proposing this, and I think the reason that my colleagues are supporting it, rather than an aspirational policy that we haven't met for 15 years at least, let's have something that we can stick to that is realistic, that is reasonable. And so that's the reason mm-hmm. for it. I agree there could have been more public discussion. Mm-hmm. We're heading into the budget cycle, so I think it's that the budgets have to be submitted on next Monday.
Well, you'll get
so
them.
I wanted to to make the policy reasonable before we head into budget process, and that's why. But it's a fair criticism.
Mary Ann, I very much appreciate the BAC's support of Resolution 34-423, for which I have a personal affection. Mm-hmm. The problem is, as we've seen, is that 34-423 said that PBOT is supposed to ask every year for 28% of utility license fees, but did not bind the council to actually providing that. And it's the last part that has been ordered for the past 27 years. Mm-hmm. So given Commissioner Prince's proposal that the council should commit to actually spending a chunk of money each year on a combination of parks, emergency preparedness, and transportation maintenance, I thought that was a better deal than maintaining this aspirational goal.
Yeah, I'd add, you know, if this ordinance had a slogan, it would be "Get Real." I mean, that measure was passed in 1988. 2 years later, voters passed Measure 5. Mm-hmm. That's part of the history. By the way, Dennis Thorold, I think, is still here. If you haven't read his column in last week's Mercury about the history of these things, it's worth reading. But the reality is the council passed this, and 2 years later, the voters pulled the rug out from under public finance in Oregon, and it became an aspirational goal, as you just described it. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Please.
Hello, my name is Lori Benoit. I would like to impress one thing right now and then something later. Overlays. You need to do overlays on your street. My husband has more than 30 years of designing streets in this state. He worked and retired last year after 27 years in a municipality. And we've been looking at your streets here. He's designed streets, sewers, gutters, sidewalks, bike paths. You're going to be turning your streets in this town into bike paths, which I don't have a problem with. My husband doesn't have a problem with. We're retired, so it doesn't really matter, and we take bikes all the time. But if you don't start doing overlays, you're going to be putting a lot more money into your streets because you're going to have to rip them totally up. The CRC, don't even think about that. The more MAX stations, if you don't start doing your overlays and other bridges other than the I-5 one, there's going to be major problems, and people are just going to have to ride more bikes, which we love, but, if you don't want to spend the money in transportation and make that a priority. And then the other issue is housing. Definitely that needs to be a number one issue, and transportation right behind it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else? Any further questions or discussion? Then let's take a vote on the resolution, please.
Fritz? So thank you to all of my colleagues who have been involved in this discussion for several months since the Bureau Committee put together their report. And I very much appreciate the discussions that have refined this resolution and made it better, and appreciate those who have signed on to co-sponsor it, particularly Mayor Hales for being the first to ask, and that was very helpful. I want to discuss Mr. Walsh's concern that the flaw of the citizen form of the commission form of government is that commissioners only advocate for their own bureaus. Actually, knowing that the one power that the mayor has by him or herself is to assign the bureaus, I certainly am always aware that the bureaus I have today may not be the bureaus I have tomorrow, and that the ones I get assigned tomorrow might be even more poorly funded than the one I have today. So we certainly are responsible for advocating for our bureaus in the budget process. We are also very aware of citywide needs. And that's what this resolution speaks to, is that we know that there are some priorities that we very much need to focus on. And I personally commit to supporting allocation of this funding in the budgets that I have the privilege in voting on. Oh, by the way, thank you very much to the City Budget Office, who were very helpful in crafting this. People have asked, why is this different from the previous one that the council ignored? The answer is because we have the City Budget Office, who brings us information and tells us whether we're complying or not with the city budget and makes it much more transparent and accountable. So I appreciate that, too. Aye.
Fish?
Pleased to support this. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for your leadership. And Andrew, thank you for reminding us that this is a floor and not a ceiling. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I guess I do find irony in the fact that we are considering a resolution to repeal one city binding policy that was ignored and replacing it with a new binding city policy, which equally has the potential to be ignored. But we're setting ourselves up to be criticized because, once again, we passed a policy saying we're going to commit investments in three categories for 4 years at a minimum. And if something comes along, like a Measure 5, which happened in 1990, which upsets the apple cart, or a library district gets passed, which upset the apple cart in this budget, we are going to be faced with the position of having to make some tough choices. And I don't mind making tough choices. I feel that's what we were all elected to do, is to use our best judgment and make tough choices and not to artificially constrain ourselves to a particular set of priorities that we may not be able to fulfill. I don't have the ability to predict the future. I cannot tell what our economic climate's going to be like, you know, 1 year from now, let alone 2 years, 3 years, or 4 years, or what other unexpected financial dilemmas this city may face and needs the flexibility to be able to poise to respond to it. So while I understand the popular appeal of this resolution, I mean, infrastructure, you know, if one thing we've learned over the past 18 months, you know, infrastructure resonates with a lot of people. Maybe how to pay for it doesn't, but the need to do something about it resonates. So I understand the popular appeal of this, but I just do not think it's a wise policy, and therefore I vote no.
Novick?
First of all, I'd like to take note of a concern that was raised about this resolution by Katie Larsell and Bor Wintergreen last night. And they came to me and said, this resolution dedicates 50% to maintenance and replacement. And in terms of transportation in East Portland, we don't have enough infrastructure to maintain. So they're concerned that this resolution might limit the opportunity to get money for safety programs in transportation. And I understand that concern. What I told them is that, as has been stated now a couple of times, this is a floor, not a ceiling, and it's certainly not a ceiling on overall investment in infrastructure. This does not mean that some of the 50% that's not dedicated cannot go to infrastructure projects that aren't maintenance. And it's certainly my intention in this budget, or PBOT's intention, to propose investments in transportation, which we divided along the 56% maintenance, 44% safety lines we've discussed in the context of the street fund. And the 56% could come from the 50% dedication, and the 44% could come from the remaining pot of money. I think we talked about 56-44.
Really?
Measure, you're just trying to, you have to grab a couple extra percent. I appreciate EPAP's careful attention to this issue, and I wanted to bring that point. In addition, I wanted to note that a few days ago, one of the headlines about this issue asked the question, can Amanda Fritz bring sizzle to maintenance? And I think the obvious answer is that she can. However, there's nothing that lends sizzle to a subject like a song. And there's a classic song that addresses the importance of maintenance that I could play just a few seconds of it. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Very good.
Thank you very much, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Hales.
I was wondering, Steve, how you were going to top your introduction of Ms. Wilkerson and Mr. Zender when you, last time they were here, said that we should skip to Malou and then return to Zender. But you have managed to top that, thank you for that. Again, I think the message of this is get real, both because there's plenty of maintenance and replacement to do in these bureaus over the next 4 years. I would love to have as much one-time revenues and ending fund balance as it would need to meet a half of those requirements. We will, of course, only address a small fraction of our backlog in these areas with what we will have available over the next 4 years. So we ought to get real that way. Second way that we're getting real is that this resolution is dedicating one-time revenues. The previous policy dedicated a portion of an ongoing revenue stream. And this is much more realistic to do it this way. Every now and then, when the economy is good and our management is good, and those are the conditions right now, we'll have some extra money. This says take care of what we own first with that extra money, and I think that's the right way to proceed. We still have plenty of flexibility about how the other 50% gets spent while we're following this policy. And as we've discussed here today, there's quite a bit of flexibility about which projects within that 50% get funded. But I think it's good stewardship, good management, and good financial policy. So thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, staff, Andrew, and your team for putting this together. Aye.